Secrets from a Coach. Thrive and maximise your potential in the evolving workplace. Your weekly podcast with Debbie Green of Wishfish and Laura Thompson-Staveley of Phenomenal Training.
Debs.
Law, you all right?
Yeah. Oh, did you put all those cat-related tips into practice from last week?
I certainly did. And you know what? It went down a storm. It was like literally giving the cat the cream. It was amazing.
Love it.
They loved it.
I've been doing my best to hold the paws.
Good. And how's that been going?
Oh, it's painful, but it does make a difference. It really does.
It does, doesn't it? Just that little shift, it's like, wow. And the thank you. That's the magic, isn't it? Thank you for understanding. Well, I'm not going to understand you. Yeah, no one says that.
No, you're so right.
Yeah.
It's like a little pair of fluffy handcuffs that someone unbeknownst to them has just been clicked into. I mean, you could even add in a bit more, you know, as a reasonable person, I just really thank you for your understanding. Yeah. As if anyone's going to go, no, actually, I am unreasonable. It's brilliant.
Brilliant.
And I guess that's the topic of what we wanted to pick off on this one, which is how do we deliver some of these less practiced conversations in our life in a way that is taken as a win-win, not in a smarmy, cheesy, fake way, a way that still feels, you know, okay for you, but a version of you that means you're standing up for yourself in a way that doesn't trample over other people. And assertiveness and self-confidence, we've covered lots in our episodes, you know, so far, and it's an ongoing opportunity for us all, I'm sure, in terms of leveling up our sense of confidence and how we assert ourselves in that moment. But we're putting it particularly around managing in an environment where there's a continuous workload and it's ever growing.
Yeah.
So where last week was looking at prioritizing and managing expectations. So what, who and how do I have those conversations? They're almost like mini opportunities during a working day or shift to just adjust as we go. What we're now looking at this one is if actually it's time for a bit of a reality check, that it is unsustainable, the amount of work that one person has got, then how might we have that conversation in a way where you can talk about the problem and the challenge, but without you looking like the problematic or the challenging person. So your reputation is upheld.
Yeah, definitely. And it's when you sort of break it down, we can all do this. And I think it's that focusing on the mutual benefit that this conversation is going to bring for both parties. And that if you respect each other, so I respect myself and I respect you, so to create that win-win environment, it will engender a sense of good communication, great collaboration and consideration of both parties within this, not just one way. So yeah, it's a real interesting one to explore.
And I think if we just, it might feel a bit left field, but as you know, I just love the New Scientist weekly magazine. And I always pick up a few little nuggets and I just really like it because it just enables you to make some parallels into some other areas. So it blew my mind, Debs. There's been a couple of different articles I've read over the years actually around the increasing amount of research that is suggesting dental health and how healthy your mouth environment is actually has lots of links to general health and well-being.
Okay.
For example, if you have poor gum health and your gums are inflamed and your teeth are full of plaque, then actually that raises the body's response to inflammation. And inflammation and dealing with inflammation is actually a stress response in itself. And if you think about it, your mouth is the warning signal to your body for what's happening kind of, you know, all around you. And there's a little phrase where it said your teeth are your most vulnerable part of your body because it's the first to then spot what is out there in the environment, whereas skin can heal and grow, your teeth, you know, I've got a finite health to it. So I just thought that was really interesting.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Yeah. So if we were to apply that parallel to the world of work, if there is a buildup of plaque in there's just too much to do, it's not flossed out, it's not being kept clean and flowing and all of that stuff, then actually that can create some very real buildup in terms of mental health issues, feelings of being not good enough, and that constant sense of threat. So if we were to take dental health into mental health around actually how do we practice good hygiene around our daily practices. And every now and then you might need to go to a hygienist and have a good old wash and brush out and a bit of a scrub. And that can just transform how healthy you feel. I guess what this episode is looking at is if there is actually a growing realization that you got to have a conversation to bring people's attention to stuff before it's too late, then how might you do that?
Yeah, I mean, that is absolutely fascinating, but it does work when we're thinking about how we can renegotiate our workload in that win-win manner. Because, you know, if we're assessing our current workload so we can see what's actually happening in front of us and not ignoring it, as you said, you can't ignore a toothache, right? So, and then looking at, you know, what are your priorities? So, you know, do you want your tooth to fall out or not? Okay, you know, you've got to do something about it. You're using that. And then preparing your case is super important around how are you going to bring to the table, if you like, the things that are happening where you can gather that information so that it's not just done on emotion, it's done on facts and it's done on things that are actually happening so that you can then potentially, it would be you initiating that conversation with someone to start to have that conversation about your workload and maybe having to renegotiate what's on your plate in a way that enables you to communicate really effectively when you're in that conversation. And we've got a little tool that we're going to share with you in a bit. But obviously, again, listening to what's being said on both sides, you know, listening to openly to what that person's saying, what you're saying, listening and listening more, seeking clarification, and then looking at what could be some alternatives. So the ability to put it in there. And it does depend on the relationship and the respect that you have for each other and trust. But putting it in there, ready to sort of maybe explore other things. So having that chance to be creative, to come up with new ways of thinking, not necessarily to do it yet, but a bit of a brainstorm around that and what the alternatives are, so that you can then reach that mutual agreement together as to what is going to change or what is going to happen. How is that renegotiation going to take place? And then following it up and evaluating it. So I think there's some things in there that you can absolutely are within your control to do, but it starts with you assessing your current workload. Because if you're going to have to renegotiate, you've got to understand where you're heading.
I love it. And so I guess what we're talking about before you have that conversation is how you're going to plan your approach. I've got a daily little calendar that has thought for the day. And the one that happened to be on today's one, Debs, was written by someone called Anne Lander. Opportunities are often disguised as hard work, so most people don't recognise them. So let's say, for example, task number 10 or expectation number 10 has come on your to-do list. It might be tempting to renegotiate doing task number 10. But if actually task number 10 is something that fills your personal values, professionally that's going to be really useful for you, it takes you closer towards your career vision that you might have, you actually don't want to get rid of task number 10. You might need to get rid of task number 1, 2 and 3 to free up your time. So not all tasks are equal, not all elements of it are, and there's renegotiating, it's got to work on your terms as well. Actually, are there some things that you want to swap in, swap out, because it's not just the newest task in that is the first one that should then be refused or moved off. It might be actually getting rid of some of the plaque that has built up because you might have been doing a temporary workaround as a result of something that happened a while ago that no longer fits the time that you've got in relation for how things have moved on and other opportunities.
Yeah, definitely. And it's having, like, we like a framework, right, Laura? We always like to hang something around. We, you know, we've done clause, we've done stroke. So I wanted to bring in the one that we've come across, which is CAR, C-A-R, because it, again, gives you something to frame your conversation around. But it also enables you to give it the due diligence, if you like, to really think through what it is that I'm actually asking for and what I'm going to renegotiate on. And the CAR framework enables you to, again, be really clear and concise and focused on what factors you're going to bring in. As you said, yeah, I might love doing task 10 and I definitely don't want to get rid of that one, but you're right, the earlier ones, maybe I do. So if you can structure your communication around this framework, it can make a huge difference. So we can explore what that actually means for us so we can put it into, I suppose, some realistic context around what that stands for. And CAR stands for that. It stands for context, action, and result. Ooh. So should we have a look at it?
Yeah, give us a look at CAR. So if you want to drive forward how you negotiate your workload in a win-win way, CAR is a great way to plan that conversation.
So should we go through it? So let's look at context first then, Law. So it really is providing the context to help that other person understand the situation, the current circumstances you're under, you know, your workload, your responsibilities at the moment, or as we said earlier, anything that's impacting on your ability to manage your workload effectively. And being able to describe really well any challenges you may be facing as a result of what's going on for you at the moment. Because if you're feeling overwhelmed, you may be experiencing difficulty in reaching any deadlines that you've got on, or you might be noticing a decline in your level of work or the quality of work that you're putting out. And when you're thinking about providing that context, it's got to be objective around it, not blaming anyone else. It's not having that emotional language sitting around it, but it's being able to really be clear on, let me just set the scene, let me set the context around what that means for me, and then we can have a conversation around it, which leads us on to the action. So what is the action that I'm going to take? Clearly state what you're looking for. Don't beat around the bush. We're not all mind readers. Something you might say might mean something different to me. So if it is about you're seeking to renegotiate your workload, then say that, because then we know what we're dealing with. You know, so be as specific as you can when asking to reduce certain tasks or having a reallocation of any resources that you might have or use or want to be using with somebody else, or even renegotiating on a deadline, which is why, you know, I think we're setting people up for success. Be mindful if you're the leader, manager, or the person setting the task. I think we have to be building some buffer room, because there's no point leaving it to the last minute and could you just then comes into play, which we talked about last time. It's being smarter around what you're working on and rather than harder, I think. So knowing what that looks like is super important. I think also explaining why you need to address this at this moment in time, give some highlights of what you propose the changes could be and also how it might impact on performance or productivity or whatever might be going on, and definitely on your well-being as well. So explain your reasons behind it, and hopefully that person will be listening and maybe exploring some more questions. But also you could potentially offer some suggestions or alternatives to that so that it can better align with what's going on in your own ability to make that thing happen and sits within your priorities. So that's, you know, we've looked at the context, we've looked at the action you could suggest. So we're looking at what the results could be, or, you know, looking about what the desired outcome or the desired result could be. So if we do, we could be, you know, so ability to have an, if you like, have a result focused mindset, looking for the solution, not just dumping it on somebody's plate, but really giving it some sense of you've given this some real considered thought and not just dumping it, as we said. What are the benefits for yourself, for the individual, for the team as a whole? And being able to, if it is about reducing burnout and work and stress, then actually saying that, you know, by helping me here, it will give more here. So again, setting your stall out, I suppose. And then it's being really willing to want to collaborate on this and find a mutually beneficial solution to how we can address the workload effectively can just make a big difference. So we've set the context, we've identified what the actions could be, and we've also highlighted what the results may be as well, so that we can then step into that conversation with a bit of a script, if you like, or giving some thought to how you might position that in a way that enables somebody else to listen and then have a good conversation with you.
Love it. So that's the CAR, context, action, result.
Yeah.
So if there was an example you could give, Debs, of what that might sound like. So we're about to have that conversation.
Yeah.
If last episode was all about the mini conversations, course correcting as we go, mm-hmm. this is where there is a need to renegotiate on a bigger picture how workload is going. So what might CAR sound like in practice?
So in practice, and obviously we always say these are our words, you know, make them your own, but you get the gist of what we're saying. So obviously an example of this. So for context, you could say something around, over the past couple of months, I have taken on additional responsibility to support the team whilst also managing my existing workload. Action could be, what I have noticed that this increased workload is becoming overwhelming for me, and I'm struggling to maintain the quality of my work to meet those deadlines effectively. Therefore, I'd love to be able to have this opportunity to look at how we might renegotiate my workload and make potential adjustments that would allow me to focus on the higher priority tasks you're asking me to do and better manage my workload. The result would be, by potentially reallocating certain tasks or adjusting those deadlines, I believe we can improve the overall productivity and ensure that important projects are completed successfully. This will also help me maintain that healthy life-work balance and prevent me feeling burnt out or overwhelmed, ultimately benefiting both myself, the team, and I'm super open to discussing what the potential solutions and collaborating with you to find out the best way forward. Thank you for understanding.
Oh, love it.
Then you're open to have a conversation.
Yeah.
So it's the positive, you know, the potential of the opportunity to, how we may, I would love to, we could then do. It's the nuances of language are so, so important in those conversations.
Well, words are important. That's like magic. That's why we spell them.
Yeah. Da-da. I like that.
Yeah. Debs, love it. So if you're listening to this thinking, that sounded good. Could you go through that again? Actually, yeah. We are now using, through the powers of AI, there's an automatic transcript that is now done of all our episodes. So since, I think, episode 172, there'll be an automatic transcript for each. So this will be written down in the course overview attachment to it if you want it again. But scripts only work for one, but the intention behind it, I think that car is absolutely fantastic, because when you have a plan, Debs, then you can then just have the conversation in the first place rather than kind of putting it off. I thought I might just chuck in a couple of additional basics around negotiation. First off, deciding what your gold, silver, bronze outcome is. So gold is your ideal stance you go in first of all. So let's say you want to do 40% less, if that's what you're looking to exchange or remove. Silver is your sort of point of balance. So you're happy to kind of leave with that. So that might be 25%. And bronze is your bottom line. So if actually the bottom line is 10% goes, but in order to agree to that, I also need some other tradables as well. So I guess the typical thing around negotiation is ask for a little bit more, because then it might then get chipped away, and then it reduces the amount of resentment that could then build up, and you're able to have a win-win kind of outcome. And then the second thing that can just help, talking about benefits, I think because I've sort of come from the sales training route, I know yourself as well, it's just ingrained to talk about benefits. If you haven't been reared in a salesy type of environment, then made, saved, achieved are three little ways to help articulate the result part of CAR. So as a result of your workload being renegotiated, what are you going to be able to make, save, or achieve that otherwise would not be able to happen if the workloads were not re-looked at? And that might just then help kind of plan how you might link it to, it's not just me having a problem, it is I'll be able to achieve more or save more or make more as a result of things being shifted a little bit. And I think linking back to what we talked about last week's episode, you might be the only person in the organization that knows actually what is on your to-do list, because you might have different management reporting lines. So no one actually is witnessing all that you're doing. You might be working hybrid. You might be the only person that's doing that role. So we're going to have to speak up for ourselves much more maybe than we needed to do in older, more historic working times, because you might be the only person that is aware what is actually on your workload. So if you're not all right, then there's far more at stake as well.
Yeah, definitely. I love that, actually. Yeah, what you make, save, achieve. I love that, because again, you're offering a solution to the problem. And I think that's the difference of going in, coming up with a solution as well as going in with a problem. The amount of times we see people just say about the problem and not have any thoughts around how they might overcome it or make it be different or save something or achieve something different. So that would, I suppose that would be my call to action. If you're going to go in and renegotiate your boundaries around your workload, go with the problem or go with whatever it might be that's causing you that sense of feeling, starting to feel overwhelmed or burdened or whatever. Always go in with some solutions to the problem, because that creates a much better conversation. It also shows that you respect the other person enough to have given it that consideration, that thought, just rather than just leaping on in and hope they fix it for you, because they won't, because they can't. So if you offer it, then as you said, it's sort of coming from you and they can see that you're willing, you're not just a blocker, you want to make it work. So then the relationship stays safe and intact, because there's been a mutual respect going on.
Yeah, oh, love it. My share of the secret would be, think of someone who you're working with who would really benefit from a bit more of this negotiation kind of outlook at it. And just linking back to the phrase I said at the start, opportunities are often disguised as hard work, so most people don't recognise them. Let's just back up the truck. The reason why you might need to renegotiate workload is you're an in-demand, hot property, high-premium person. And the characteristics of someone that is a high-premium person is, even if you might not feel it, you're obviously seen as someone that is capable. So therefore, to match that, how you see yourself with how others see yourself, and as well as being able to be capable at doing lots of stuff, you've got to have the capacity as well. So it's really important now and also for long term to look at some ways that you can use, for example, car to drive that forward, and using it as a negotiation angle rather than a refusal to do something. And then you can keep everything kind of moving forward. In fact, funny enough, I was on a prep call with a client who's probably one of the most famous retailers in the world, and they were using the word solutionize.
All right.
And saying how what we want to see around us is people bringing forward the solutions. We can all see the problems. So what we actually need is for people to see the problem, and the conversation is around the solution they've been thinking about, not just whining about the problem, basically. And so I thought that was quite interesting how there'll be a respect. The skill of being able to renegotiate that workload is also a skill that you're demonstrating about how you handle things as well. So I think this is a real win-win, as we said, in terms of having those conversations. And why we were so passionate about focusing on the mini conversations last episode and the big conversations this week is, if you don't watch out for yourself, bad things can happen in terms of relentless workload that never seems to go away, which is why we are really looking forward to our guest that we've got in conversation with us next week, where the amazing Alexis Neighbour is going to be looking at all things around burnout. So what to watch out for, how to prevent it. And I know she's a real expert in that field. So I think that'll be a really interesting and quite hard-hitting episode as well, Debs. So a real kind of slightly different take on the topic that we've had this month, all about workload.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I can't wait. So see you next week, Glor.
Oh, can't wait. Keep driving that car, Debs.
I will.
Context,
keep driving
action,
that car.
Result. Love it.
Love it. See you later, lovely.
See you, lover.
Bye.
We hope you've enjoyed this podcast. We'd love to hear from you. Email us at contact@secretsfromacoach.com or follow us on Insta or Facebook. If you're a Spotify listener, give us a rating, as it's easier for people to find us. And if you want to know more, visit our website, www.secretsfromacoach.com, and sign up for our newsletter. Here to cheer you on and help you thrive in the ever-changing world of work.